This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Come see me at the Woodstock Comedy Festival on September 24th.
Head over to GilbertGottfried.com for tickets, details, and other upcoming events.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss a single episode. And if you like the show and think we deserve a 5-star rating, and obviously we do, rate us and post a review. Also, although our main purpose in life is to entertain you, producing this show costs actual money. So please help out by going to patreon.com/GilbertGottfried and pledging your support to receive all sorts of goodies, merchandise, personalized roast, and shout-outs, advanced access to episodes, or personal messages from me, Gilbert Gottfried. And if we raise enough, maybe I can finally get a new co-host. I'm thinking of the Scarlett Johansson robot. Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried. I'm here with my co-host Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions. Now, two bits of business. Last time we didn't mention it, but rest in peace, Fivish Finkel.
Oh, yes, Fivish Finkel passed. Right.
He would have been a great guest.
Yeah, we didn't get to him, sadly.
And last time I was on here, I mentioned that I was looking for the Pontiac commercial.
Oh, somebody found it.
Yes.
Yes.
I got three names who had found it. Jason Abram, John E.L. Tenney, and Sarah Ryan. And I saw the commercial. I haven't seen it since.
Is Leo Gorsy in it?
Yes. Yes.
I know the one you mean.
See, I remembered Elijah Cook Jr., Lon Chaney Jr., and Broderick Crawford. But also in it is Mike Mazursky.
Oh, Mazursky.
Mazursky.
Yeah.
And Richard Robert Strauss.
Oh.
And the last person you see there is Leo Gorsy.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a very weird.
I think there's a whole series of those. I'll send you a website. There's
yes.
a whole series of Pontiac commercials from that era.
There was one with Louis Nye, Tom Poston, and Don Knotts.
Oh, the Steve Allen crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
Oh, and one with Victor Borge.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, oh, just. We got to dig those out.
What was the era of these things?
In the 60s. What'd you say, early 60s, Gil?
Yeah.
Do we know who the creative force was behind the
No,
the
we do not.
Maybe
that's our researcher, there. Paul Rayburn, speaking, obviously. Paul is here with us. Fivish Finkel would have been great, and he could have told us about the Yiddish theater.
Oh,
we touched
yeah.
on it a little bit with Marilyn Michaels.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I always say when prospective guests pass, we can't get to everybody.
But like I always say, hey, what's the rush?
Right. Exactly.
Stop and smell the flowers.
So here's, we're going to deviate here. We've been doing a lot of one-hit wonders, but we're going to do something different. We're going to talk about 1966, a year in television.
Okay.
Because it's interesting. Batman, it's the anniversary, it's the 50th anniversary of Batman. The last 2 weeks was the 50th anniversary of both Star Trek and The Monkees.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people posted on social media. And the Green Hornet by the same company.
Yes.
Greenway that made Batman. So I went to Wikipedia and I said, well, I've looked at what other shows debuted in 66, and it's quite a list. So I wanted to see how many of these you actually remember or might ring a bell. And Paul is here with us. A couple of these. Do you remember Batfink?
I remember the title.
It was a Batman knockoff. It was an animated, it was a spoof created by an animation director named Hal Seeger. Batman, of course, is on the list. This is an alphabetical list, so I'm just going to go through these and see which you remember. Now, a previous guest, Chuck McCann,
yes,
did voices for an animated series that premiered in 66.
And that was Cool McCool.
Very good.
Yes.
Cool McCool.
I use for my secret messages.
Here's Frank dialing up Cool McCool.
Sorry, I guess some of my secrets leaked out.
It does sound like Jack Benny.
Double, triple alert. Yeah, that's actually that's Bob McFadden, right?
Bob McFadden.
That's Cool, that's Cool McCool.
So tell us about the voice, because I always thought it was Chuck McCann.
So Chuck McCann did many of the characters, but Bob McFadden did McCool and I think one other. And he did say right from the start that he was modeling them after Jack Benny.
Interesting.
And, of course, Frank, but one of the creators of Cool McCool was Bob Kane.
Yep.
Who was also one of the creators of Batman.
Yep. And a guy named Al Brodax.
There was an old cartoon. I remember just like one episode. It may have been a Warner Brothers, where it was a caveman and his pet dinosaur. And they modeled that after Jack Benny.
Really?
And they had a guy doing a great Jack Benny imitation.
You don't know the name of it?
No, well, I don't.
We will put that out to our listeners.
Yeah.
Maybe we can find something, too. What do we know about it?
I know it may have been Warner Brothers, but I'm not positive. And it was a caveman who looked and talked like Jack Benny, and he had a pet dinosaur. It was just one episode.
Speaking of Jack Benny, did you know our guest tonight, Bob Einstein, his dad, Park Your Carcass, Harry Einstein, did a series called, it was called Meet Me at Parkey's, and it co-starred Frank Nelson.
Oh, my God.
And we didn't.
Yes.
We didn't ask. We neglected to ask Bob about that. Let's go through some of these other shows from 66, and we'll see what Paul has on them, and we'll see what you remember. A show called Doctari. Daktari by Ivan Tors, the guy that did all the animal shows, Gentle Ben, and he did Flipper.
Yeah, no, wasn't there a movie Doctari or something like that?
I don't know that there was a movie. It was about a doctor in Africa saving animals, protecting animals from poachers.
Why, for some reason, I'm thinking Doctari, a movie, and Henry Mancini. Is that?
Look it up, my friend. I could be mistaken.
You're thinking of Mondo Cani.
I'm staying in the D's here, and here's a favorite of yours, Gil. Dark Shadows premiered in 1966.
Yes. That was anything to do with monsters, I would watch. Anything to do with horror.
Even though it was a soap, really.
Oh, yes.
It was an afternoon soap.
And even as a kid, though, I remember watching it going, you know, this is really shit.
Yeah. Well, it was soap opera budget, right? They had to churn them out.
Zero. Yeah. Zero budget.
Yeah, with Jonathan Frid as Barnabas Collins.
And Jerry Lacy, who would later on play Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, my God.
With Woody Allen.
That's right.
And play it again, Sam. There is one, I remember watching this on TV. He's playing like a high priest. And he's doing this, chant over a grave. And a fly is buzzing around his face and crawling on his nose. And it's like, you know, he can't interrupt the scene and slap the fly away. So he's trying to be dramatic. And the fly is like walking into his nostril.
The stuff you remember. And David Selby, right, we talked about before. Was Quentin the Werewolf.
Who would later be in that cop one.
Yeah, the Super Cops.
Yes.
With Ron Liebman, who's coming up on the show.
And one thing I have in common with David Selby, both of us played Abraham Lincoln.
That's right. You played him in A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Yes, and he did it in some musical, TV musical about the life story.
Fascinating. What do you got, Paul?
Doctari, what I was thinking of was Hutari.
Hutari. I think that's a Howard Hawks movie.
I'm not sure, but that's the Baby Elephant Walk. That gave us Baby Elephant Walk. That was
Hutari.
Mancini. And has absolutely nothing to do with Doctari.
Right.
Nothing at all.
Right. So, Gil.
Yes.
I understand your lovely wife, Dara,
yeah,
has been cooking you homemade meals.
Yeah. And let's preface this. I've said this before. She cannot cook if the life of the earth depended on it.
Dara.
She couldn't make a fried egg.
Is that true, Dara?
So I'm here to tell everyone, our listeners,
uh-huh,
that Gilbert is telling the truth.
He is.
I cannot cook at all. Until now.
Okay.
Until now.
What's the game changer?
I swear I am in love with Blue Apron. I am saying this from the bottom of my heart. It has changed our lives. Usually when I try to cook, Gilbert goes and makes a peanut butter shake after the meal. He can't eat my food. And then he'll go and he'll make a peanut butter shake.
Such a compliment.
Now he actually eats the meal and does not have to make a peanut butter shake afterwards.
And usually when you follow a recipe, first you got to see what the ingredients are, and then you got to go shopping for the ingredients. And that takes up your whole day, and then you have to measure it. With Blue Apron, they send you all of the ingredients perfectly measured, and they've just got instructions, mix this with this, and then heat this up, and it's easy. And I'm telling you, this meal was like something you'd get in a nice restaurant.
Wow.
Thank you, Gilbert. Thank you.
Well, it's no, thanks to Blue Apron, not to you. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Gilbert. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
And then there was Mogambo.
Don't talk for the rest of the show.
Yeah. I thought you might be unhappy with
All right, let's see if we can stump Gilbert with this one. How about the double life of Henry Fife with red buttons?
Oh God!
Mean anything?
Yes, I do remember the title, and I remember him being in it. But boy, I don't remember anything else.
Sort of
about
a Get Smart knockoff kind of a thing. Only went 17 episodes. A game show called I Guess EYE, hosted by Bill Cullen. Does that mean anything to
No.
you?
No.
Mel Brooks, I saw Mel Brooks recently at Radio City, by the way. He had a great Bill Cullen story.
Oh, yes.
Which I'll tell you off the air.
I heard that
You've heard that
yeah.
one. Here's a family affair we all know.
Oh,
with Sebastian Cabot and Brian Keith, also debuted in 1966. How about this cartoon, Frankenstein Jr. and the Impossibles? Does that mean anything to you?
Frankenstein Jr.?
He was a big robot, and he had a kid. There was a kid named Buzz Conroy. And his father was the inventor of a Frankenstein robot.
See, now what
Ted Cassidy was the voice of the Frankenstein.
See, what I remember as a kid was the Milton the Monster Show.
Oh, my God. That has to be even older than 66.
And it was like, that was like a goofy-looking Frankenstein. And the guy doing the voice was obviously imitating Jim Nabors.
Of course, as you would.
Yeah. And I think the theme song was something like, it's creepy, it's spooky, it's altogether kooky, the Milton the Monster Show. Now let's take a trip upon the hill and get to the... Beware of the troubles upon the way, or you may take a spill.
Wow. The Milton the Monster Show. What do you got on that, Paul? Anything?
Check it out. Let me see what I can find. Go on to the next one.
And he goes... 2 drops of essence of terror, 3 drops of sinister sauce. When the stirring's done, can I lick the spoon? Ha ha, of course.
Now, you probably haven't seen that in 45 years.
Yes, and I remember the words.
The lyrics.
Gilbert is pretty close on the timing. That debuted on ABC in 1965.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah,
so that's close.
Good.
Ran through 68. Produced and directed by Hal Seeger.
Hal Seeger, same guy who was behind Batfink.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on since Gilbert doesn't remember Ted Cassidy.
Bob McFadden was in the cast.
Bob McFadden. Oh, so let's get the Bob McFadden thing out of the way.
Right. I got to tell you, it's amazing about Bob McFadden.
Go ahead. Go, Frank.
His son, Brian, has the identical voice, and Brian's a great stand-up comedian.
Okay.
He's here a lot doing commercials. He was the Serta Sleep Sheep in that campaign. I think that might even still be running. But is the spitting image of his father's voice. It's absolutely amazing.
And his father was the voice of Cool McCool, was not Chuck McCann.
And,
which I thought all these years.
And another son who's big in voiceovers is the son of Art Carney.
Oh, yeah, Brian. Brian's great.
Oh, Brian Carney.
Yeah, he's very big in voiceovers.
Yeah, he does tons of voiceover, and he also does on camera. Do you remember the Tide to Go commercial where there's a talking stain on a guy's shirt when he's trying to do a job interview? The boss in that campaign
is
Brian Carney.
And I actually can say I worked with Art Carney in a commercial, even though we never actually were together. There were these series of commercials from ESPN where they reenacted the talking dogs. And I mean, not the card-playing dogs.
Oh, okay.
And they had it set up with these actual dogs that looked like the ones, but real dogs. And
like from the bad paintings.
And it was me, Art Carney, and someone were talking about getting on. The Gary Shandling show.
Oh, Jeffrey Tambor.
Jeffrey Tambor. Yeah, Jeffrey Tambor, Art Carney, and me.
But you recorded separately.
Yes.
Oh, too bad. Well, it would have been great to meet Art Carney.
Brian Carney still has the raccoon hat.
Wow.
That's also great trivia.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
He's a great guy. Great guy.
All right, I'm going to jump ahead to the G's. Anybody remember The Girl from U.N.C.L.E., which was a spinoff of The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
I do remember that. I don't think I ever watched
Stephanie
it.
Stephanie Powers.
Yes.
Stephanie Powers,
I remember that, but I don't think I've ever
29
seen
episodes and a great theme song by the legendary Jerry Goldsmith.
For The Girl from U.N.C.L.E.?
The Girl from U.N.C.L.E.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on. It is our time. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Green Hornet we talked about, I posted it on Facebook, 66. This last week, I think, it debuted 50 years ago. Here's a show called Hawk with Burt Reynolds.
Oh, was he a detective?
He was a detective who was a genuine Iroquois.
Oh.
Because I think the real Burt Reynolds has some Indian heritage. So that was a series. It co-starred an actor, Bruce Glover. You know Bruce Glover? He's Christian Glover's dad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he's one of the two hitmen in Diamonds Are Forever.
Oh,
you'd
geez.
Recognize him if you saw him, and he's still around.
I got a couple of other cast members from that show. Robert Duvall.
Wow. Was on Hawk?
On Hawk, and Martin Sheen.
Were they guest stars or regulars?
Well, no cast. They list Burt, Robert, Martin, and then Bruce Glover.
Wow.
What
a cast. That's pretty high power.
That was before he did Dan August with your favorite, Norman Fell.
Oh, that's right.
Here's one. Hey, Landlord. Does that mean anything?
Oh, God.
This is Gary Marshall's first show, the first sitcom that Gary Marshall, I guess, created, starring Will Hutchins of Sugarfoot fame, who's still with us.
Yeah.
And the late Sandy Baron, a comic I always liked from Broadway Danny Rose.
I'm all of a sudden remembering a TV show starring Richard Castellano.
Oh, God. Was it the Dumplings?
Maybe. They were like an Italian family.
Well, there was the Montefuscos. that Bill Persky created.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're thinking of?
I don't know. Okay. I just remember.
Paul's
Richard Castellano was
I think Richard Castellano did a show called Joe and Sons, I think, unless I'm having a brain episode. We'll come back to it. Let's jump. So Hollywood Squares, hosted by our friend Peter Marshall, one of my favorite episodes that we've done of this show, premiered in 1966. And here's one that I know you know because we've talked about it a lot. In fact, Steve Binder, who is another upcoming guest, directed an episode of this. It's In the Eyes, Frankie.
Oh, you mean It's About Time?
Yeah.
Here we go.
It's about time. It's about space. About two guys in the craziest place.
It's about time. It's about flight. Traveling faster than the speed of light. Here is their tale of the brave crew.
I posted this on Facebook. It's so much fun. It's clearly the same people that sang the Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because it's Sherwood Schwartz.
I've got the Richard Castellano reference, I think.
Oh, I was just going to say, in the writing, the song, too, also sounds a lot like F Droop.
A little bit.
Yeah.
If I know Sherwood Schwartz, he composed the song, too, because he thought that's where the money was.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
Joey Ross and Imogene Coca, It's About Time. One of the strangest sitcom premises in history.
Astronauts land on a planet of...
Well, they go back in time.
Oh, they go back in time.
Yeah,
that's right.
Prehistoric times. And Imogene Coca is a cave woman. That's a long story. Yes. What do you got?
Richard S. Castellano,
yeah.
The Super...
The Super!
The Super! That's it!
Oh, the Landlord, the Super!
That's it! That's it!
The Gottfried the Amazing!
Ah!
1972. And let's see, cast members included Margaret Castellano, his daughter.
Wow, Clemenza we're talking about.
Yes,
Clemenza,
yeah.
Right. That
For
was the same Godfather.
Yep.
So that's it.
I think he did a show later in his career called Joe and Sons. So redeem me there, won't you? Maybe that was Joe Bologna.
He's the one in The Godfather who says, "Why don't you tell that nice girl
you
love
her?
I love you with all of my heart. If I don't see you, I'm gonna die."
We've taken a strong Italian turn.
My wife makes me say that to her. Is that too much information?
He also portrayed the lead Joe Vitale in Joe and Sons.
There we go.
Oh,
jeez. All right, Gottfried.
Yes.
Give you a run for your money. Here we go.
Mr. Gallagher.
So we're going to jump around. We did It's About Time in the Eyes. Just stopping in the J's briefly, the 1966 was the first year of something near and dear to your heart, the Jerry Lewis to MDA Telethon.
Oh, my God.
Yes, at night, 50 years old.
Now, but wasn't it originally Martin and Lewis did it?
Well, I have here, and again, Wikipedia, not always totally reliable, but the Jerry Lewis MDA Labor Day Telethon by that name, probably was just Jerry as a solo, premiered in 66, so 50 years ago this year.
And they got rid of him. They got rid of Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
And it's like, but the thing is, when you think about the telethon— no one says the muscular dystrophy. You say the
Jerry Lewis telethon. That's right. That's right. Okay, here's...
Did you see the big interview with Jerry in the Times?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the LA Times. Yeah.
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 New York Times.
Was it New York Times?
I think it was New York Times.
And he brought up Day the Clown Cried, or the interviewer did.
Right. Right. Yeah. Interesting thing that he would... First time, I think, in a long time, he's given that kind of interview. You would certainly know you guys better than I would, but...
Gilbert knows him. I never met the man.
Yeah.
Let's do the K's. Here's a cartoon that I remember, and I may be the only one, but Frankie, hit the theme song.
King Kong, you know the name of King Kong.
He never lets me
down. You know the fame of King Kong. 10 times as big as our land.
All right, when was the last time you heard that?
That I must have been one when I heard that.
Not chronologically possible, but the King Kong Show from 1966.
Yes.
Wow.
King Kong getting into adventure.
I think it was Rankin Bass. You know, you can take a look at that one. But if memory serves, and I knew... I thought, well, I'm either the only idiot who remembers this or Gilbert. But, yep, Rankin Bass, 25 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. From a company called Videocraft, I guess Toei Animation, which is probably Japanese. It was a Japanese-English co-production.
Speaking of Japanese-American co-productions, remember the movie The Manster?
Yes, I gave it to you.
Yes.
It's on that collection gave you. The Manster. I love the title.
I remember that's where he looks at, he opens his shirt in the mirror, and he has an eye on his shoulder.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I've seen clips of it. I've never seen it all the way through. Who's in it?
An eyeball. You mean?
An eyeball.
The letter I.
The letter I. His name was Irving, so he had a cheap tattoo.
I'm going to jump around to in the interest of time.
All right.
There was an animated Laurel and Hardy series that that debuted in 1966, which I
very vaguely
don't remember. We'll come back to that in a future episode.
They had a bunch of those celebrity cartoon things like. They had the Three Stooges cartoons.
It was the one David Lander did with Jerry Lewis. Will the real Jerry Lewis? The one Drew always talks about.
Yes.
What was that called? Will the real Jerry Lewis please sit down?
Oh, man, I think so.
Yeah.
And then there...
With Squiggy.
There, of course, was the Beatles cartoon.
Yep, yep. And then, of course, the Abbott and Costello one after Lou had died.
Oh, that's right.
With Stan Irwin. Was it Stan Irwin or Stu Irwin? Stan Irwin, I think, doing the voice of Lou Costello.
And what I remember with the... Beatles one is they didn't even bother. Maybe they didn't even know that at that point what the Beatles sounded like. So they were just doing like typical English accents.
Right. Yeah.
So John Lennon sounded like, what's his name? That actor talks like that.
James Mason?
No, no.
Oh, Ronald Coleman.
Ronald Coleman.
Toucan Sam.
Yes. Yeah. John Lennon's voice is like, yes, boys, let's go and play our next song.
Ringo sounds like Robert Morley.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid and thinking, being so disappointed to find out that wasn't the actual Beatles.
Yeah, especially in
Yellow
Submarine.
And Yellow Submarine, too. Yeah.
Because there I was convinced it was them.
Do you remember a show called Love on a Rooftop with Judy Carn and the late Pete Doole?
Oh, my God. I remember the I don't remember watching it. I remember the show. I remember the title. Pete Doole. He was also in Alias Smith.
Alias Smith and Jones, yeah, with
Ben Murphy. And he wound up, he commits suicide.
I think on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, I think he shot himself.
South Korean. That's a South Korean show.
Which is?
2000. A Love on a Roof. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Love on a Rooftop. That was South Korean?
not that one. There was another Love on a Rooftop in 2015. A South Korean television drama.
No, Love on a Rooftop, I think, and I don't even know if I have the years right. It almost sounds like it was a knockoff of Barefoot in the Park.
Oh, yeah.
I think Nipsey Russell was in Love on a Rooftop. I think he was the wacky neighbor. You want to dig into that one, Paul? And I'll jump around here. The Marvel Superheroes cartoon.
All I remember of that
in 66.
Is the Marvel Superheroes have arrived.
A transistor superhero. Yeah, that was the theme song. The theme song kicks ass, but the animation was from Hunger.
I remember too. They used to have that daily show of Marvel heroes.
That's the show.
Yeah,
the Marvel superheroes.
And I remember
it was Captain America on a Monday.
Yes.
It was Iron Man on a Tuesday, or the Hulk. No, it's Hulk and then Iron Man.
He's Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk.
Something ain't he glamorous.
And what they would do there...
People will send us the lyrics now.
They would show... They would have a still, a drawing of Spider-Man, and start shaking the picture down.
Really cheap animation.
Yeah. And it's like... You'd have, like, throw his...
When Captain America throws his mighty shield.
All who chose to oppose his shield must yield.
Right.
So when he would throw the shield, you'd have a picture of a shield, and the camera would go by rather than animation.
Right, right.
Those were so
Well, they were stills.
Hard.
They were they were basically comic strip panels, cheaply animated.
Yeah, and you'd shake the pictures or zoom in and out. if that was a fight scene. They'd zoom in and out.
Frankie, can you find the Marvel Superheroes theme from 66? Maybe we'll go out on that one.
Let me check it out.
What did you want to know about Love on a Rooftop? Now I got a little bit here. Yeah. Peter Duell,
who committed suicide.
Okay, Judy Kern. Yeah. And
please tell me it was Nipsey Russell.
One of the which I don't see him in.
Damn it! Maybe Nipsey was in the Barefoot in the Park.
One of the composers was Mundell Lowe.
Well, wasn't there a black Barefoot in the Park? I know there was a black Odd Couple.
Well, maybe there was something with you're thinking the one with Scoey Mitchell.
I'm pretty sure there was a black Barefoot in the Park.
We'll put that out there. Going quickly through the M's, the Mighty Heroes, which is another cartoon that we'll talk about on a future show. Mission Impossible debuted in 1966.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've got a connection there because the music was done by, what the fuck's his name? Oh, God.
Lalo Schifrin.
Lalo Schifrin. Very good, Frank.
And Lalo Schifrin also did the music for Bad Medicine.
Which you were in.
Yes.
Was Richard Pryor in that?
No. That was another year.
Oh, that was Critical Condition. This may be the this is arguably the best TV theme song of all time.
Oh, yeah. And how many times...
For the music fans, this is in the time signature of 5-4, which is very unusual.
And how many times have, like, comedy shows and movies, as a joke, put in the Mission Impossible?
I'm sure the Schifrin family was collecting, hopefully. So we'll stop at the M's because there's so many shows here. We'll do a second episode. And we'll go from N to the end. What do you got,
Leonard
Paul?
Nimoy was also, I had forgotten this.
He was
made
Paris.
Some appearances in Mission Impossible.
He was a regular.
That's right.
He was Paris.
That's right.
Yeah. Stephen Hill was the original. I also like the Hawaii 5-0 theme, but the Mission Impossible theme is pretty fucking cool.
It's really a classic.
It really is. Yeah. So let's stop at then the Monkees and a show called The Monroes. Do you remember The Monroes?
Oh, wait. Was that Monkees? No.
The Monkees debuted 50 years ago this month.
But there was a show with Monkees.
Oh, with Monkees?
Yes.
The Monroes. I don't think so. I think it was a period show about a family. Take us out on The Monroes, Paul, and then we'll come back and we'll do another episode. We'll do N through Z. And in celebrating 1966. Right,
Monroe's is a tough one because there's like a million Monroes.
All right, we'll come back to it. We'll start the next episode with it. So that wraps up 1966, A through M, a great year in television.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we haven't even gotten to some of these yet. Frankie? An aquatic superhero.
This has been Gilbert and Frank's amazing colossal podcast.
No, obsessions.
Oh, God! Ah, fuck. This has been Gilbert and Frank's amazing colossal obsessions, and I'm going to go home and watch Lon Chaney, Burgess Meredith, Elijah Cook Jr., Mike Mazurki,
and the Manster,
Robert Strauss, and Leo Garci in the Pontiac commercial.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next time in part two of Television 1966.
Sessions.